Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, our front nine starts with my whirlwind week that started at the Chevron Championship, where Nelly Korda made it 5 in a row. We get into Nelly versus Scotty thoughts and more comparisons as Scotty wins again at Harbortown and some other amazing headlines from the world of golf. This week's guest, we had a quick catch up with Rose Zhang at the Chevron, who has a big life announcement, plus our friend Brindy Lincecome, past Chevron champion, major champion. She's played on the LPGA Tour. She's even played on the PGA Tour. We always love catching up with her. And my Vegas recap, talking about a teenage phenom. And when we always end with food, it's a Vegas food recap and Passover celebration upcoming. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Again, desertfoxgolf.com is their website. They're a longtime sponsor and featured brand on the Course of Life, because not only are we friends with the team there, but we believe in everything that they create. They make amazing accessories that make the golf and golf cart experience all the more better. They're constantly innovating, and I can tell you firsthand, the team is always creating new great things to make golfers' experiences better. So if you're looking for a golf gift for anyone out there, maybe a dad or a spring birthday or a mom who's looking for a phone caddy, a swing aid tumbler, any sort of cool accessory, or an upcoming DJ 10 speaker to be released to the whole golf population out there, your place is Desert Fox Golf. And again, check them out at desertfoxgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, let's get right into the history-making play of Nelly Korda. She claims the Chevron Championship, her second major championship, her fifth consecutive win on the LPGA Tour, tying the record for most consecutive wins, tied with Annika and Nancy Lopez. Great company to be in there. I mean,
indeed,
just incredible play. She kind of hung around the leaderboard the first day or two, and then just hung on, and everyone else kind of went in the opposite direction, and she was able to close the deal.
That leaderboard gravitation we talk about a lot with Scottie Scheffler. We're now seeing it on the LPGA, and she really is that great. The week started with me asking Nelly at the Chevron Championship about her Instagram and her beach tan and the off weekend. And it ended with her being unrattled by any of my dumb questions and continuing the winning ways. It was truly awesome to see her prep for the major in only a way that she can, which is in a very interesting laid back style. I mentioned this to you before we pop on, but she's just got kind of that demeanor where like she's there and present in the moment, but doesn't feel too overwhelmed or nervous for what's actually happening. She admitted to nerves after winning on 18. So there's a human side to her, which just makes her very affable. And obviously she's the star of the moment in the LPGA.
I mean, obviously she's really the star of the moment in the world of golf. I think what her play is really, let's say, better than Scottie Scheffler right now, even with everything Scottie's doing. I wonder if you put the two of them head to head, I feel like Nelly Korda might be the one to come out on top, just because
somebody booked that match right now. TNT, I mean, where are you guys at?
let's do it right now. I mean it's incredible that we're having two generational runs
from 20 something American golfers, I think, is a big caveat too. Yeah. Really lifting each of their sports. That's an important caveat, especially for our audience, to see young American golfers dominating in the way that they have, starting with Nelly, like you mentioned, 5 in a row now. Impressive stuff. She's even going to take this week off, Mike. She's going to rest and sit on her laurels of only winning 5 tournaments in a row. So maybe a little bit more beach time for her upcoming this week.
I think she's earned it. I think so too.
Yeah. So it was really cool being there on site. Like I mentioned from last week's episode, I was there Monday and Tuesday for the prep. Got to run into a couple different players. We have a YouTube video coming out very soon from my trip. But most importantly, got to connect with Rose Zhang, That's right. Augusta National Women's Amateur Champion. She ran through the board in the amateur world. She won her very first pro event, and we have her here on The Course of Life with a very exciting update about her new home.
Thank you. It's so different just because, you know, I'm still in college, still just grinding away, but being 20 and now a homeowner does feel a little different. It's actually a really nice area. I'm not a strip girl at all. Yeah. My friends know that. But
you don't need that yet anyway.
No, I don't need that anyway. I can't do anything anyway.
What are your must-haves? What were the non-negotiable things you need to have in your new place there? What are you most excited about?
Well, first of all, I think just the area in general, it was very peaceful. It's a nice area. Place of convenience. I've got all my supermarkets. Yeah. And it's just... I mean, Costco's right next to me.
That's what it's all about. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
How about features inside the house?
Features inside the house. I just liked a pretty clean aesthetic. My parents definitely helped me a little bit while I was at college. They helped kind of order the things for me. But I like a light or a bright-ish room. Yep. So there's really good sunlight there. And it's a high ceiling, which is also super nice.
Awesome. Well, congrats on that. And the other thing that the whole golf world got to see you in recently was your newly released AT&T commercial where you were juggling everywhere. Tell everyone a little bit about what that was like behind the scenes of filming that commercial.
It was so interesting just because, you know, I was at school at the time. So, you know, I was actually pretty busy with doing all these things. And it was a long day. It was a 12-hour shoot.
Yeah. A lot of takes.
A lot of takes. A lot of takes. The next day, you know, my right arm was a little bit sore. Everything is real in the commercial except for me sitting down, just because sitting down and looking at a screen does not help juggling at all. It's impossible. But other than that, everything was pretty authentic, and it was so fun to film. The crew was amazing. The director. They're all from Hollywood, actually, so yeah. It was really nice to kind of hear some stories in between breaks about how set life, and you know, I just had a good time. It was really cool.
Awesome. Well, Rose, best of luck this weekend with the rest of the season. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
So Rose Zhang there, just incredible. Her career path so far over the last year, from winning at Augusta and now being in big Hollywood commercials and living in Las Vegas. You know, it's fast. Just, man.
20 years crazy. Old, buying a place in Las Vegas kind of cracks me up too. She mentioned it's nowhere near the strip where I was this past week. But yeah, it's becoming a bit of a hub for the pros out there. I know Colin Morikawa, our buddy Taylor Montgomery, and a slew of other players like Minwoo Lee live out there. So definitely becoming one of the golf pro destinations. So congrats to Rose on the accomplishment of buying her first home at age 20, Mike. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I was not gifted with any talent whatsoever.
Yes, that's right. That's what it was. That's the only thing that stopped us, right? It's just not being gifted with talent.
no talent and no generational wealth either.
Yeah, we only have an hour, so we won't list all the reasons. Yeah.
No, there's a lot. At least for me, there's a lot. But speaking of talent, Nelly Korda, like we said there, 5 wins in a row, cannonball into the pond there, which we'll see in that video that you put together as well. So just incredible. We'll see if she can make it 6 in a row when she hits back out to the tour for her next event. And I have to ask the question here too, Alex. Nelly Korda did 5 wins in a row, and Scottie Scheffler just won his 5th event in 6 starts.
Sure.
What's more impressive, Nelly Korda going 5 in a row, or Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters and then going out the very next week and not taking any time off and winning at Harbortown?
Yeah, the week after the major one is kind of like a special flex because the whole world is already impressed with you. We already know you're the guy. As the kids would say, he is him right now. Scottie Scheffler is him. He's that guy. So like, it would be natural for him to just have a tie for 12th and just play decently and just soak in the glory of winning another major. But no, he's built different.
And his first round, he came out yeah, he shot 69 on his first day, but he was still like five strokes back. And then he comes out and he shoots 65 on Friday, 63 on Saturday, and then his final round split over Sunday and Monday morning, 68. And again, gravitation, he was able to kind of stay there and everyone else just fell away. No one could come and touch him. Like, same thing with Nelly. And it's just this incredible, it's just like, just what is going on in the world of golf right now between the two of these?
Yeah, just the two figures is the thing that's really got to be highlighted right now. Like, I can't state that enough. This very rarely happens when we've got two defined stars in the game that are just very unassuredly, without debate, the best at the sport. So it's an exciting time, and Scotty just adding on to the excitement of it all. You know, like I said, I kind of wasn't joking on that. Like, what's the check size to get a Scotty versus Nelly match under the lights, like for 18 holes in primetime television right now? Somebody cut the bill. It would be amazing television. We're throwing matches all over our TV screens left and right. We might as well find a way to get the two of them out there on the course right now, because they're both playing the best golf maybe of their careers.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's just incredible to see what they're both able to do. I do have to ask a question too, though, with all this, is that is Ted Scott the second man on the PGA Tour money list right now?
Yeah, like how much he's making. Scottie Scheffler's caddy, for those who don't know, Ted Scott used to caddy for Bubba Watson. You know, his 8-10, whatever the percentage is, 8-10% of Scottie Scheffler's earnings. Yeah, he's probably ranking pretty high in the FedEx standings just on that money alone. Just taking Scottie Scheffler's drippings and handing his clubs, cleaning them, getting the yardages for him. So shout out to Ted Scott getting it done as the caddy as well, too.
One last note I'll say here is that this win at the RBC Heritage for Scottie is particularly noteworthy because it's his first win ever on the PGA Tour after the Masters. In terms of the calendar year, he has never won on tour after the Masters.
That's goofy. That's really goofy. I did not realize it was like that. I knew he was an early season guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that cold now, after the Masters.
He was obviously still very good. He's obviously still very good in these tournaments. He just hasn't been able to get over the hump and win.
Well, now he did. Another hurdle cleared for Scottie Scheffler as if he doesn't have more to do.
One other note too, Wyndham Clark's 58 watch on Sunday, which then just a horrible back nine.
Ruined by a shot that you or I or anyone listening at home would have, where they're in the woods, you're trying to recover and pitch out of those trees, Mike. And then you hear that unmistakable click when you make direct contact with a tree trunk, sent that ball flying out of bounds. And that was the end of any 58-59 watch right there.
Yeah, pretty much. There was a low score on the alternate event going on opposite the RBC Heritage. That was the Corrales Putcana Championship. Always a fun tournament name.
I like pronouncing that, yeah.
Billy Horschel. It's been almost 2 years since he's been in the winner's circle. He posted a 63 on Sunday to take the win here. A tournament that usually produces someone who hasn't won in a while.
That's true. Kind of it thing. Does. Yes, it's been 2 years. He did win the 2021 Dell Match Play here in Austin. Rest in peace to my favorite event. And and did get another one in 2022, like you mentioned. 8 wins now for Horschel, a guy that's just kind of quietly put together a very nice and long and financially friendly career. Got one of those FedEx Cups back in the day for $10 million as well, too. So shout out for Horschel, you know, still at it, not deterred by the fact that he wasn't in the field. At RBC, goes out, gets it done in Punta Cana in paradise. So that's a nice week under the palm trees for him.
So while Billy Horschel is the journeyman that we've talked about during the first part of this podcast this week, Alex, let's go back to the young guns and talk about Miles Russell. No relation whatsoever.
Wait, that's not your brother? I thought it was all week.
No, not my brother. If he was my brother, I'd be doing much better in life than I am right now.
Yeah, you'd be taking 10% from him right now as his caddy. That's what you'd be doing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'd be doing. This 15-year-old is just, he's the new hot thing on the Korn Ferry Tour, isn't he?
He is. We've seen him a little bit on YouTube golf. This kid's made a bit of a name for himself on social media. He's a 15-year-old lefty, lanky swing, and he just finished in the top 20 on a Korn Ferry Tour event. At one point, he was in the top 5, Mike, on a Korn Ferry event. It's a 15-year-old kid. So we're just marking down. This is one of those moments where you just put a pin in this name. Miles Russell. Just remember that name. We said it first here in 2024. Surely not the last time you're going to hear from that kid. And he's already into the next Korn Ferry event, so he has a chance to add on to his success next week.
Is he going to get an exemption and do a PGA Tour event this year?
That could be soon. You're right. That could be around the corner. I know Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth got their way in around 15, 16 years old, so it would not surprise me.
All right, let's do a little tuned in because, Alex, it was your Vegas week last week after you were in Houston for the Chevron on those first 2 days, Monday, Tuesday. You did your annual Mecca trip out to Las Vegas. How much did you win? Are we going to see a new chapter in this podcast thanks to your winnings?
Here's the good news. I came home with money from Las Vegas.
Okay.
The bad news is I came home with less money than when I left for Las Vegas.
So the podcast is in more debt than we were before, is what you're saying.
It was close to a break even, I will say. The Superbook plays, although watching at the Westgate Superbook, Mike, watching the RBC Heritage on like a 20-foot by 20-foot screen is an amazing experience that every golf fan should have. The sports bets were not hitting. Unlikely luck at roulette and slots. I usually don't have much luck there. But I did. That's also coming to the YouTube channel as well. We're going to have a nice long video showcasing all of my slot adventures. So fun adventures to be had. I think the cool things that you'll be interested in were I got to go on that high roller ride, that gigantic Ferris wheel that looks over the entire Vegas Strip there, and got some amazing views. And I got to take the monorail right by the brand new Sphere several times, seeing it lit up at day and at night. So those are some awesome monuments I got to check off.
Like you said, you'll have a video of that coming up to our YouTube shortly. Yep, if definitely. You haven't checked it out there too, you can see Alex walking nine holes with Dylan Wu at the Valero Texas Open a few weeks ago. Also, a little recap of your 2 days at the Chevron Championship will be up on YouTube. Probably by the time people are listening to this, it'll be up there as well. So make sure to head over to our YouTube channel and check that out. The link is in the show note description. And if you're not following us on YouTube, you definitely should check us out there. Perfect. Let's look ahead to this next week. It is the best event on the PGA Tour calendar because the Dell Match Play isn't around anymore. I'm sorry, Alex. But it is the Zurich Classic. It's team golf on tour. It's just always a great time on the PGA Tour calendar, an event that I feel like gets a lot of talk, but at the same time, like, doesn't get a lot of talk.
Well, you know where it gets a lot of talk, and this is what I figured out in that nine holes I walked with Dylan Wu and Justin Lauer, is I think the players love this event even more than the fans do. The players get so hyped up for this event. You know, Dylan and Justin, for example, are two guys that play all their Tuesday practice rounds together on the PGA Tour, wherever they are. So they're for sure teaming up. They had their best finish together as a team on the PGA Tour last season here, and they're looking to run that back. They were already strategizing a month before in San Antonio for the Zurich Classic, talking about what to do on certain holes of the course in New Orleans. So it does give you an idea that there's a lot of player momentum behind this event.
There is, and noteworthy from this is that Rory McIlroy is in the field for the first time. He's teaming up with Shane Lowry. So is this a team that we're going to have high hopes for and is going to lose horribly like Rory usually does?
Yeah, and you'll appreciate this. I'm hearing this team actually came together in a drunken stupor after they won the Ryder Cup last fall, which is awesome. That's the way the Irish team would come together, right? Of course.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. You know, they're definitely not familiar with the course. They're going to have to learn up on it very fast. You have to put them as one of the favorites, though, just by the mere fact of these are two of the 50 best guys in the world, and they should gravitate towards the top 10 at least this week.
You know, I'm disappointed Scottie Scheffler isn't going to be playing this week because I don't know who he'd be playing with. But maybe he would have played with Rory because Rory and Scottie, did you notice this on Sunday at the Heritage? They were in the same clothes.
I did see that. They were matchy-matchy. And it was adorbs. Yeah. No Scheffler. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay are what I call the boring team.
Together.
They're always in contention in this event.
Yeah.
And Nick Hardy and Davis Riley, the defending champions. there's some good teammates out there. Well, one sleeper that I'm looking at, a couple of guys that could put it together nicely in jail. How about Will Zalatoris and Sahith Tigala? That could be a good pair if they get Zalatoris, it right.
Zalatoris got his getting back together. He's slowly getting there.
A little bit. So, yeah, that should be a fun watch. Like I said, the players love this event. So if they're on board, I am too. Golf in New Orleans, two-man teams. Always fun to see a little bit of a wrinkle in the format.
All right, let's get to the turn in this week's guest. She's a returning guest to the podcast, an LPGA winner, a major champion, a mother, and a wife who does it all with her family on the road and still makes time to chat with you, Alex.
She does, yeah. And like literally within a few minutes of getting to the tournament, pulled right up, like right on time, punctual as ever. Our girl, Brittany Lincecum, you know her well from the podcast. Last year, it was great to have a reunion 1 year later, pretty much in the same spot by the 18th green at Chevron, catch up and see how everything's going with her life and ask some fun questions for our quick nine on the way out as well, too. Live here at the Chevron Championship in the Woodlands, Texas, back with a friend of the show, returning back on the course of life, Brittany Lincecum. How you doing, Brittany?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I'm glad we could fit you into the schedule. I know things are busy. It sounds like this is a full family trip, is it not?
It is, yeah. I love bringing my family to this one. Obviously, good memories at this event, obviously new golf course, but just always fun to bring them out and to let them see kind of what I do.
What's the life update on the kiddos since we last talked a year ago?
You know, it's busy, you know, 4 and 1. So, you know, the 1 year old's definitely crazy. The 4 year old is super chill and a wonderful little girl. So the 1 year old is keeping me on my toes for sure.
My best buddy back in Austin has a 5 year old. And I just for the first time saw the craziness of the Saturday youth soccer.
Oh,
have we gotten into any youth sports yet with the oldest yet?
No, thank the Lord. One, my old caddy, I went and saw her son's soccer game not long ago and I am not ready for that. So poor Emery is not. She's in golf, but that's it so far.
Yes, I noticed that it's equal parts coaching and equal parts emotion management as well, too. You got to make sure the kids are in the right frame of mind, actually play the whole game.
Absolutely.
But, it was fun to see. So tell me a little bit about the schedule this year and kind of where things stand for you golf-wise. I know you've only played a few events.
Yeah, just a couple events so far, but I feel like I'm doing all the right things. It just all needs to come together and click. You know, I'm burning a lot of edges, which is kind of those to like keep you in the match, you know, make the cut kind of just like right on the cusp. So, you know, did a lot of practice sitting today, you know, short game, always wedges, lots of putting. Hopefully it'll all kind of come together this week and then we'll get them to fall in and not burn the edge.
Maybe it's just the right amount of adjustment now that it's year two here. So what's your kind of level of familiarity now that you've already seen kind of 1 year of how the sport plays?
Yeah, I actually played it yesterday. So I got an advantage on most of the field, which was really cool. They redid the green since we were here last. They're very similar layout, but maybe like just redid the grass. So they're going to be firm, like really, really firm. Even like wedges, we're releasing about 12, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Just because they're so new. So that'll be definitely something to take into consideration because they're playing it long. Obviously, it's a major, which they should. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, stopping like long irons on the greens.
For sure. Let's talk about the two hottest golfers in the world. And we'll start with ladies first. Let's talk about the current Nelly Korda heater that we're in the middle of. I know you're very proud of her. You've been sending her a lot of positive love on social media. But like put into words, you know what it's like to win. You know, we're at 4 starts in a row by the time this airs. It could be 5 or 6, but what she's been doing lately, put it into words.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can put it into words because it's kind of like she wins and then we have a week off and then she wins. Like, it's crazy to keep that momentum going. Like, obviously, if it's like back-to-back, like you're still fresh, you've still been practicing. But obviously she's doing all the right things, practicing at home. And, it's just incredible to see, obviously an American golfer, a friend of mine, obviously think it's super cool for the tour. We need somebody like that, like a Tiger. And she's definitely taking that role on, which is awesome.
When you see her throughout this, does she say like she is in a zone? Does she say things are a little easier? What's her frame of mind right now from your perspective?
Yeah, I need to go actually pick her brain and just to kind of help myself, you know, get in the right frame of mind.
I just saw her in the parking lot. I was about to just walk up to her and just ask her for tips.
Yeah, give me all your tips. I think she just doesn't do anything crazy. Like she doesn't hit it offline. She doesn't make the big numbers, doesn't make too many mistakes. So I think just, you know, keeping it in play, getting it on the green, and then she's getting some putts to fall, which is what you need to kind of either keep the momentum going or keep the round going. And it's nothing flashy. Like, it's just kind of straightforward and doesn't get in too much trouble.
Yeah, and the thing that blew my mind was specifically the Vegas match play as we got like into the weekend. Mm-hmm. It seemed like she didn't really even have her best of anything and was still just clawing out wins in the matches. Like, that's how you can tell that she's at that next level, is like, even with the B minus game, she's still getting it done.
Absolutely. I think just being in that position so many times, just, you know, it's coming second nature to her to figure out like how to play on maybe your not best day, which is hard because like a lot of us, we saw, you know, some of the players of the Masters struggling with putting and, just figuring it out how to get it in the hole and then kind of get those mistakes to kind of go away and figure it out quickly. She's definitely doing that.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. And then on the men's side, like you said, Augusta, we just watched Scotty Scheffler get his second green jacket again. And it was one of those, like, I'm not saying it's Tiger-like, but it was reminiscent of Tiger Woods in that, you know, he just outwilled and beat people down the stretch into submission to win that tournament. What impressed you the most about watching him win?
I think just being so calm and cool, like coming down the stretch, obviously the back nine, just every shot, he was just on. He had his A game and that obviously helped, but like just every shot was like right down the middle, right next to the pin, gave himself birdie opportunities, you know, it wasn't going to do anything crazy, make any big numbers. You know, it was just, he just seemed so calm and relaxed. Like, I mean, he's been in that position obviously, but like just, he just, the air about him just seemed very casual, like, he keeps saying, you know, it's golf doesn't define him. And I think just probably with his wife at home going to give birth here soon, like there was some distraction, which might've been good keeping his mind off what he was actually accomplishing, but just to see him coming down the stretch and hitting the great shots that he hit was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think the rest of the field was hoping the wife was going to labor, right?
Everyone kept saying that on the back nine. And I'm like, he's already on the back nine. There's no way he's withdrawing now.
That's funny. So, and he will do another champions dinner. We'll get to the champions dinner here in a moment. But he did a very like Applebee's Chili's-esque menu with like sliders, Scotty style chips and dips. Yeah, what else would he? What would you add from your Applebee's Chili's type of menu? Oh. If you're gonna redo Scotty's dinner next year.
Definitely chips and queso, and probably some wings. I don't feel like it would be like a Wagyu beef. It would kind of be calm, like just kind of fingery foods for me. But like a mac and cheese dish for sure. But yeah, it's funny to see all the different menu options and what they pick.
And not to be outdone, the Chevron Championship, past champions have their own dinner here. Tell me a little bit about what that night is like for
you. Oh, it's just super fun to get just to see all the past players fly in and come hang out for a little bit. You know, we don't get to see them very much throughout the year. So to have this event, you know, bring everybody back for one night and kind of catch up a little bit, it's just really cool. Really cool that they're keeping that tradition alive and honoring it. So I love it. I can't wait for tonight.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing you play this week and the rest of the season, Brittany. Thanks again for being part of the show, as always. Let's do quick nine now.
Ooh, here we go.
Nine, and these are, I'm starting you with three golf questions, and then we're doing some really random stuff.
Okay, I'm nervous.
I think you're up for it, though. Question number one is, would you rather putt with your driver for an entire round or drive with your putter for an entire round?
I think I would rather putt with the driver, because I feel like you could get it further off the tee, get it down there, and then kind of wedge it and then putt it with the driver.
Just improvise.
Yeah.
Choke down all the way to the grip, maybe.
The putter, I wouldn't be able to hit far enough off the tee to get down there.
Would you putt with the driver or would you putt with a different club, just knowing that?
Putt with the driver. I feel like if I had one, I'd probably use like a 7-iron or 5-iron, but I love my driver, so I think I could make it work.
Okay. A course with no bunkers or a course with no water hazards? As we look out at the gigantic
this is a very large water hazard. I think a course with no water, because if you're in the bunker, you still have like a little bit of a chance to advance it or get it on the green and save par. When you're in the water, you're taking a penalty and you're done.
Fair enough. Okay. I don't always ask this one to major champions, but I got one in my presence. So I'm interested how you feel about winning five more LPGA events or one more major in the LPGA.
Ooh, truththfully, I just want to win anyone to have my girls around to see, like, come running to me on the green. Like, you see that all the time with the PGA. It's just so cool to, like, see the kids run out. I'd probably go major, especially this one. I would love to win this one again.
Okay,
that's a cool one.
Here's the random stuff now. You walk into a casino and you're given $100 and you have to gamble it or do something with it. What do you do?
Three-card poker is my game, but I don't know if $100 would be enough, so I might have to go to blackjack. Yes. Depends on what the minimum is, I guess.
Safe bet, low minimum, I like that. If you had to attend one sporting event on your bucket list, what is it? probably have attended a good amount, but what's still up?
I have. I've never been to Wimbledon. I think tennis, a tennis match would be cool. I've never been to a tennis match.
It just brought a professional women's tennis event to Austin in the last couple of years, too. And it was a really cool
spectator. I bet that would be really cool to see.
What does a great hotel room have? Very open-ended. What does a great hotel room have?
I feel like I got to go with just a good bed. Like, kind of a Marriott girl. I love the Marriott beds. Yep. Even though the Westin Heavenly beds are pretty good, I think the bed has to be, like, I don't need anything fancy in the bathroom or anything like that. But, like, the bed, if you're going to, especially because we spend all week there, I need a good bed.
Okay, I'm asking a lot of these because I'm doing a lot of traveling. Come on. So I'm curious, what's your biggest airport pet peeve? There's a lot of them out there, but which one just absolutely drives you through the wall? You're flying all the time. So
yeah, probably the people that are in zone, like, 20 that are, like, waiting in line for zone one. Yes. Yeah. Especially now with two kids. Like, I'm like, I want to be last to get on. So I sit in my chair as long as possible, and we're boarding last. So
you guys are last because we see a lot of families do the priority boarding.
They do. No, totally. Early. Totally. You can totally board with most airlines early. I like the end because, especially with the one-year-old who's out of control, I don't want to sit on the plane any longer than I have to.
Okay.
And we never have a bag that goes in the overhead. Like, we have backpacks that go under, so I don't worry about the overhead space.
Okay, cool. I like that perspective. It's good to know. This is a music question here.
Oh.
Based on kind of when your age and your generation is, for the rest of your life, if you could only listen to music made in 1 year, what would it be? So, like, what, like, era, year was your favorite? My favorite is the year 2000. I'm a Pop 2K sucker. I love when all the boy bands were coming out. And there was all sorts of rock and rap and alternative coming out from generations.
I was thinking either 90s on 9 or Pop 2K.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go 90s on 9.
And then last but not least, in our quick nine, be on a game show or be on a reality TV show?
Oh, gosh. I don't know which gets paid more. Probably a game show. I think the game show would be cool.
I'm a big Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy guy.
Yeah.
Which one would you pick between those two?
Wheel of Fortune.
Me too.
For sure.
Not this one. Maybe the celebrity one, if they get you on there. They can make the questions a little bit easier. So you can do the celebrity one.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's funny.
Brittany, thanks again for hopping on the show. Best of luck this year, and we'll catch up down the road. Right?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Course of Life podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr here since almost the very beginning as how Alex and I record this podcast from hundreds of miles away. And it provides us with great quality audio that works every time. And it's something that makes Course of Life what it is and has kept us being able to make consistent episodes every week. And now it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. You record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. And have you ever wondered what you actually sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Head on over to zencastr.com/pricing and use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experience as we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and our promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Zencastr, it's time to share your story. We're back. Great chat there with Brittany Lincecum. I have to agree with her, Alex. Those airport huddlers that hang out right next to the gate door and block access to everyone who gets to board before them.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, the only thing, even like on Southwest even, okay, where you have a number. You have a number in line.
You do.
So. Yep. You can get up and get in line and get in your numbered spot. And these people still like run up there and get in line as quickly as possible.
Yeah. It's like, why? Why
it's are we literally in such a rush? Assigned waiting spot with Southwest.
You're literally getting in line. And then once you get onto the jet bridge, you're going to wait in line again. And then you wait in line in the center aisle until you finally can sit down. And then you're there for about 3 hours, however long the flight is.
Right. And then for the other airlines, like Brittany mentioned, if you're in zone 5 or 6, like it says it on your ticket, if they're announcing zone 1 or 2, there's really no reason for you to be up there until like at least 4 is called at minimum. Like zone before gets called, I think that's your moment to begin the huddle if you wish. Anything more than that, you're just in the way. So I agree with
you. I mean, when they call the zone before, that's when you get up, you make sure your bag's good, you know, make sure you got your ticket out, your pockets are set and everything for what you need. So you can just sit out when you get on the plane. When you get on the plane, sit down.
Oh, thank
don't
you.
Clog the
that's
aisle.
Another one. Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on this. I'm glad I asked Brittany. We always appreciate her perspective. She gives great, fun, candid answers. Love having her on the show. And I think she's gonna get that win to celebrate with the kids. I know she's been mentioned that when she's been featured on the show. Her time's gonna come at least one more time for sure on tour.
And if you like that conversation with Brittany, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now so you never miss an episode. Tell a friend about us. I don't want your rating or your review. I want you to go tell a friend about the Course of Life.
Right. Like when you're making fun of people who have podcasts, you can interject and say, I actually know one that's half decent and the guys aren't that annoying. And then you mention us. That's how it works.
And I'm going to let you decide which one is less annoying than the other.
That's right. Coin flip.
It's Alex. Alex is less annoying than me. We're on Instagram, CO All Podcast. He's Course of Life Alex. I'm MWRINC. X, formerly known as Twitter. Alex is there, Course of Life 1. Like we've said, we're on YouTube as well. So you can check out everything we're posting there. Let's talk about the next 6 months that are the NBA and NHL playoffs.
That's right. Yeah.
They finish after the new season starts.
Yeah, we even worked in almost a week-long play-in tournament now. That's what I saw while I was in Vegas. Just to get to the start of the playoffs this past weekend. And yeah, you're right. It's going to take 16 wins for the Celtics to hoist the 18th championship. It's championship or bust right now for the Celtics. And it is inevitably going to take months, if not years, for us to get to the NBA Finals.
Is this the end of the era of LeBron James and the Lakers? I mean, are we, yes, they're in the postseason, but I mean, is this it? Are they done? Are we done talking about LeBron? He's what, 38 now?
Yeah. Or 9, maybe even close to 40. I mean, the last thing for him is just trying to play a year in the league with his son. I think that's like the last thing he's holding out for, but yeah, in terms of him being a championship contender, the door rapidly closing, it's just open a hair, but there's really not much there, especially this season with a matchup like Denver in the first round. So yeah, you're not going to see much of him.
On the hockey side of the spectrum, the Bruins are our bandwagon team that we always hop on. It's time to actually pay attention to the NHL for at least a week. I think they'll be in it longer than they were last year with that record-setting season. So
good reference. First round elimination last year. So we're hoping for two big runs. You know, we got the streets by the Garden closed down for playoff central. So we got to have two big runs here in Boston. You know, we haven't won in a long time, Mike. You know, Boston sports is really suffering. So it's about time we have a couple teams that are in the postseason making runs.
How many years has it been since the Boston team won some sort of championship? 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah. It's been a few
things. Yeah. I think it's been longer for the New York teams, actually.
That it has, yes. Now, I'm being facetious, but yeah, good to see the season and the Bees making their playoff run.
Let's talk football real quick, too, because it is draft week. The NFL draft kicks up on Thursday in Detroit, right? They're doing it in Detroit.
They moved that thing all over. Yeah, that's
in Detroit. Yeah, I think it's in Detroit or something like that. I think it's going to be interesting because your Patriots have the third pick. They are taking a quarterback because I don't think they have any on the roster. And I saw something that suggests the Giants may look at trading up from the 6th pick to the 4th pick so they can get a quarterback.
Oh, great. Well, I'll work a deal out with you right now. I'll take it. Yeah,
let's negotiate on behalf of our
teams. So basically, for the third pick, I'll take the 6th pick. I'll take next year's first round pick, and I'll take a second round pick as well. You in?
Can you take Daniel Jones too?
Yeah. You want to offload him on me as well too?
Yeah.
And a club sandwich. Yeah.
And a club sandwich. Yeah.
Sounds good. Exactly. Yeah. I'm very curious to see what happens. Pick number three, big time on the clock for the first time in like 20 something years since the Patriots have picked this high. We'll see if they pick a QB at three. We'll see if they trade down. The one guy that I'm just like, please don't do it, is Drake May. If you hear that the Patriots draft Drake May, Mike, just text me. I'm sorry. That's all you need to do.
If they draft him, are you done with the Patriots?
No, I'm not done with the Patriots. I am just extremely pessimistic about the future of our drafted quarterback. That's not to say we couldn't win with someone else or a different way, or he could become a great quarterback. He's just the one guy on my list that I am very much not interested in appointing as the franchise quarterback at this moment. Anyone but Drake May.
All right. We'll see what happens. For now, though, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep. Our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast. 19th hole content coming your way. I mentioned the trip to Vegas. Highlights for best drink and best eat. Mike, the best drink was very cool. I know you saw this picture. So inside the Venetian, one of the nicer hotels on the Strip, they have this awesome, really cool area. Obviously, they have the cool, you know, light up the night, you know, so there's a dome effect and it looks like it's daytime in Italy. They have a nice little square. And I had a wonderful espresso martini overlooking the gondola rides at Mercato. It was absolutely amazing. That was the best drink. And the best eat, it's a clumsy one, Mike, but it was the drunken 1 a.m. White Castle in downtown Las Vegas. Nothing better than a four burger combo and an order of chicken rings to complete the night in Vegas.
Can you actually eat White Castle without being drunk or high?
I don't know if you can, actually. And I say, I actually was thinking this too as I was ordering. I was like, you must have to have a very, very high level of patience to be a cashier at the White Castle on Fremont Street in Las Vegas that's open 24 hours. Just you're getting all sorts of customers coming in through there all hours of the night. But those are the food highlights for me in Vegas.
All right. Well, I don't have a lot of food highlights other than that. I did a day early, a shortened and not nearly as appropriate Passover Seder, because it is, by the time everyone's listening to this, it is Passover.
A mini Seder, if you will.
Yes. So we did the brisket and we did the flourless chocolate cake bought myself a box of matzah, and we've had some matzah. So happy Passover. He has not risen. There is nothing risen in Passover. No leavened bread products of any kind. You're really not even supposed to have flour of any kind.
That's still amazing that you guys can work right around it and have a brisket, a cake, and matzah. That's just like, well, yeah, you got really bravo to you guys for working around that flour, the hijinks there. What a menu.
Hey, look, you do what you have to do. Okay. You do what you have to do.
I love it. Happy Passover indeed to everyone out there celebrating. A lot of fun content. Again, follow us on social. We got the Visit Frisco PGA trip coming up this week, so be sure to follow on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.